Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
If you drive around the valley, or heck, if you drive around the western United States, you may see a lot of solar panels on the roofs of homes.
Yeah.
I just spent the weekend, I drove back from Northern California, and I went past a couple of these, I'll call them solar farms. You know what I'm saying? Like just this big plot of land,
and there's
just a whole bunch of solar panels kind of as far as the eye can see. So we know that solar, in some way, shape, or form, is a alternative energy source. But in California now, they are going to mandate solar panels on all new homes.
Yeah, all new homes starting next year. If you're building a house in California, if that wasn't expensive enough already.
Why would you be doing that first off?
You're going to be putting about an additional $10,000 into that home because they became the first state in the country to make solar mandatory for all new houses. So they're looking at the mandate adding between $8,000 and $10,000 to the cost of a home. Now, they estimate...
That's what the panels and the system would cost, and just build it into the price of the home.
Build it into the price of the home, which means you're building it into your monthly mortgage, and they estimate that that additional cost would be about another $40 a month in your mortgage, on average. And it is claimed... ...by California's Energy Commission that homeowners are going to save about $80 a month when it comes to like heating.
So they're basically saying we're going to mandate something that's going to save you money.
Yeah.
I'm always, listen, healthy dose of skepticism probably will help you with this, that anytime somebody, especially a government or a state, tells you how much money they're going to save you, you should immediately grab onto your wallet tightly. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So here is where I maybe don't fully understand it because, and maybe that's because in the state of Arizona, you would think, if when you go around the country, heck, if you go around the world and you say Arizona to people, the first word that comes up is hot. Almost every single
word association. Arizona, hot.
Right? Why is it hot? Because we're about a mile from the sun. I don't quote me on that, but we're close, okay? And it is warm a lot of times. We have sunshiny days. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of sun. You would think Arizona would be the worldwide leader in solar. So why isn't it? That's where I get to why I'm skeptical about what's going on in California.
Okay, connect those dots for me. What do you mean?
Knowing that the sun shines, what, 364 days a year around here, roughly?
Yeah,
363.
Okay, yeah,
we'll give it
a
knowing the sun shines that much, and knowing that solar panels, solar energy in some way, shape, or form, would be a good place for it, you know, compared to Seattle.
You think you'd be able to see it everywhere in the valley.
Why don't you? Is it A, too expensive?
It is expensive.
Okay. Why is it expensive? Be a good question. And what are the hurdles to it? Here is where I get to go on my rant about how the utility companies have absolutely no desire for solar energy to catch on. The last thing in the world APS and SRP want, your electric company, is for you to have solar panels on your roof, to the point that here in this state and in other states, they spend millions, tens of millions. We might be at $100 million by now. Dollars lobbying, supporting politicians who make it difficult for you to put a solar panel on your roof and in any way, shape, or form disconnect from the regular energy grid. As a matter of fact, it's against the law.
So are you saying, though, that in California they don't have that same issue? That like the electric companies and the utility
doesn't have the same yank? And I think
aren't
that
contributing
that
as much? Like, what do you mean?
It's not working as well in California. That I think they went past the tipping point in California.
Well,
because, listen, just play along with me here. If there was no regulation on solar, if you could treat your electric, your power needs, your energy needs, I guess is the terminology, the same way you treat your satellite or cable. You could call and connect or disconnect or put a dish on your roof or not. You could do whatever you want without the government interference. I'm telling you right now, solar would be cheap. it would be plentiful, and the electric companies would be bleeding cash.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with California, because if this works in California, could you see it in other places, like here in Arizona? You hear that, what is the saying, like, as goes California,
yeah,
so goes
the rest of the country.
Right,
yeah.
So California is the first. And we find out that already right now, 8 of the 10 U.S. cities with the highest percentage of home solar panels are already in California.
Yeah.
So they're already kind of used to it. But you want to know who's number 3 on the list? Phoenix.
Yeah.
Prescott comes in number 5.
Yeah.
So it then begs the question, will we eventually see some sort of solar requirement? And I think that it, let California be the guinea pig. Cool with California. California wants to mandate that. California has their own way of doing things, all right? That's why I live in Arizona, because I don't want to live in California, because I don't like the way they do things over there. But if it works out, and define work out, I don't know exactly, but if it works in California,
but you
have a benefit to
it. You understand my problem.
It's going to be very hard for those utility companies to fight it the way they may have in California.
We had a solar initiative.
Yeah.
Right?
On the ballot.
Did you see who spent the money to defeat it?
Uh-huh.
The power companies did. Tens
sort of like
billions of dollars.
You had to make sure X amount.
Why?
Was, yeah.
They are not in the business of competition. The last thing they want is for you to put a freaking windmill or a solar power or any other alternative energy. They want you to be forced to buy energy from them. You currently are in the state of Arizona forced to purchase energy from the local, the two big power companies here in the valley, just using the valley as an example.
By forced?
You cannot disconnect from the grid. Even if you put solar panels up, even if your solar panels can run your entire household.
Wait. I can't go.
You
I can't
still
go
pay
dark.
A bill.
I can't go
you
off the grill.
You still pay a bill.
Really?
You still have to pay a bill.
I've never tried to go off the grid, so I don't know that. But
and why?
Why?
Because they have lobbied and spent money with the Arizona State Legislature and with politicians to force you to not be able to disconnect. Again, I want my energy to be the same as my satellite
and
cable
needs. Let's get like the politics and the, you know, who pays whom, you know, the lobbyists out of the equation. I think you make a great argument there, and that's probably what's holding certain things back and keeping the cost up high.
Stopping innovation, things like that.
Okay,
yeah.
But let's take that out of the equation. I know it's hard to do, but for a moment, let's just do
Ready.
That. Is it a good idea? Is it a good idea?
I haven't heard how it can be a bad idea.
It is expensive.
What's the downside?
I think it is expensive. And maybe it's expensive because of the politics.
So was stringing power lines and digging power things in the ground all over the city of Phoenix. That was awful expensive when they originally did that.
I hate when you're right.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, but
expensive,
I guess,
compared to what?
We looked into it. My husband
and I
looked into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not because, hey, we want to go green and save the environment. Well, that's a nice side benefit to it.
Yeah.
But we're looking at it from like a cost benefit analysis. And the rate of return on it for us was horrible. We would have had to have been in the house. Oh, my goodness. We would have had to have been in our house for like 20, 25 years when we were looking at it in order to get some sort of benefit.
Free market, I think
it would be a lot less expensive.
And if there wasn't the regulation that prevented solar companies from competing with electric companies.
So in California, again, they're now mandating starting next year that every new build comes with solar panels, which is another, you know, $8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
I remember a story of a couple. I want to say it was an Anthem.
Okay.
That, and here's what made me kind of also remember it. They bought solar panels from like a door-to-door salesman.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll your eyes right now.
Yeah. All right.
But then,
I see where this is headed.
2 years or so later, they wanted to sell the home. Well, in order to sell the home, whoever purchased it would have to take on the lease of the solar panels. So nobody wanted to buy the house because they didn't want to assume that lease, which made their home less attractive than other
in the neighborhood.
Homes.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to be the case in California, that these new builds
that are mandated solar.
You know, you decide that you're going to go live in California, Bruce, in 5 years, right? And you have a choice between a home that has solar power that you may have to absorb the lease. I don't quite know how California is working that. Or a home that maybe is 10 years old with no solar panels.
I think, and the problem is it's unbelievably complicated to figure that math out.
It's one of those things. Are you going to be punishing people who build new homes starting next year when it comes to reselling them later on?
If I understand it, though, because it's being mandated in the cost of the home, there's not going to be a lease. So when you purchase the home.
Okay, fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
when you purchase, it's like saying, I don't want the garage. It's already there. It's built into the home. It is part of the home. So at least when it comes to the lease argument. Now, those homes may be more expensive because they have that $8,000 to $10,000 cost built into the homes. But we will find out if mandating solar panels on new homes saves consumers money, people are going to start demanding it in their home, not wishing or hoping. And there becomes the real fight when you have your utility companies here in the state of Arizona, that the last thing they want to do is have a coal-fired plant go out of business or not be able to be the monopoly to sell you energy. They don't want the competition. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, that's why I'm glad that California is the one doing this. Let them be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
If you catch a bit of a bug, you get the sniffles, you got an earache. My eye! Okay? Earache. What's the best way to call in sick from work?
The
We're going to give you some tips that you might be thinking of. If you want to make it another 3-day weekend and call in sick on Friday, we'll tell you how to do it.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It happens. You know, I think we're pretty lucky. Thinking about where you work. Thinking about your boss or your manager. Do you have the kind of boss or do you work in a workplace where if you are sick, you just don't come into work and they're okay with it? Or do you work at a place where if you're sick, it becomes the Spanish Inquisition?
Oh, well, you know, if you're not here, I don't know how we're going to get this. When do you think?
And you're either guilted or you fear for your job. Yeah. Is your job security going to be at risk if you call in sick? Okay, we work at the former, not the latter. If I got that right, we work at a place that if you're sick, don't come into work.
I don't want you in here.
Argument Pamela always says is when I have the sniffles or I'm coughing,
home.
I don't want you to make me sick. So you are not allowed to come into work.
Yeah, I don't care about you.
You stay home. No soup for you.
We're stuck in the studio together for 3 hours. You cough, you sneeze.
And
I'm going to breathe it, and I'm going to get sick.
There is a bit of an unwritten rule amongst all the hosts here, because we share studios and we have these little spongy things on the microphones that collect germs, that if you're sick, you don't come into work because we don't care about you. Let's be honest. That's a you thing. Don't make us sick.
Yeah.
Okay? But other people out there need a little bit of help, Pamela. They whether they're sick or not, and degrees of sickness, let's be honest, it can go on the 1 to 10 scale, you know, from, I have a bit of a headache to, I'm dying.
Well, okay, that's interesting that you bring that up, because it used to be you actually had to call your boss or your manager.
Remember that?
And prove that you were dying.
You had to act.
Yeah.
I say it nicely. Some of you had to act. I don't think I'm be able to make it in.
Yeah, exactly. But nowadays, it's just either an email or a text message.
I'm sick, not going to be there. Knock yourselves out.
Okay, but right there. I'm sick, I'm not going to be there. Knock yourselves out. That's pretty much how you should write your... It's not a sick note. Nobody brings in a note anymore. But your text or your email.
This comes from a career expert at Monster.com on how to call in, text in, email in, communicate that you are sick your job.
Do we really need this today?
I think some people do, because some people are really bad at it.
Okay, how could you be bad? I'm sick. I won't be in today.
I'm going Ferris Bueller. I'm going straight Ferris Bueller, where you are on death's door and you get caught on television. By the way, happened to me.
What?
I had a Ferris Bueller moment.
You?
I did not call in sick. I will give you this. But I was working in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I told my boss I was going to lunch.
And where did you go?
I went to the Anaheim Angels game against the Cleveland Indians.
Instead of lunch. And?
The cameras caught me trying to catch a foul ball.
Don't you know it?
And when I came back to work the next day, because I didn't make it back that day, my boss was,
So.
It was a hell of a lunch. Did you catch the foul ball? I was like, oh, son of a mother.
Oh, burn, baby.
So there is, there are pros and cons. There are things you should be smart about.
Okay. Well, here's what the HR expert at Monster.com says. Keep it brief. Be brief. Less is more. You don't need to share everything that is going on. In fact, when you do, it causes some suspicion. If it's bad timing, you know, those monthly reports, they're due tomorrow and you're not coming in, acknowledge that, right? There very well may be some, you know, legitimacy to being ill, but acknowledge that.
You know, there's work that's not going to get done.
Work that's not going to be done. Or if it is the Monday after the Super Bowl everybody else is calling off and you just happen to get, that happened to me last year.
I remember that. You missed the Monday after Super Bowl. We're like, really? Steelers weren't even in the game. How is she all hung over?
Oh, man. No, I was. I promise I was. Also, you know, tell the people that need to know that you're not going to be there. Maybe more than just your boss, but everyone that
Anybody that might be impacted by you not showing up.
Yeah, be there. And you know what? The other thing, too, is like, be realistic with your abilities. If you're able to answer some emails while you're at home, go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
But if you're like yakking in the toilet every 30 minutes, that's not a reasonable expectation.
You got an IV hooked up and you're getting oxygen. Probably not going to be answering emails.
And if you have kind of like the flu and you think it might be a couple of days, acknowledge that too.
This doesn't feel like a 24-hour bug.
I just find it funny that like we even have to give these tips anymore.
I think people have gotten bad at it. But again, you used to have to call.
How do you get bad at it?
You used to have to call and boy, did you have to act.
You're bad at it if you're lying. That's the thing. You're bad at it if you're lying.
So the question is, what percentage of people that quote, call out sick are actually too sick to work?
I have no idea, but I'd love to read that study.
You want to go 50-50?
I think it's probably a little bit. I think
51?
Oh, my goodness. This coming from a former manager, right? 51? You are so skeptical.
Yeah. I used to tell people.
Did you guilt them?
I used to tell people, I used to have meetings, mandatory meetings, and I said, the only excuse for missing this meeting is death in the family, but it must be your own.
So you are the understanding boss is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the only acceptable thing. Well, maybe you wouldn't get so sick if you got vaccinated. It's called a segue, people. Play along with me here. A new bill in Arizona would change the vaccination laws. Is this what we need? We're going to be talking about it. Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but at one point I thought we'd eradicated measles in this country. The idea that a person, or especially children, would suffer from measles had pretty much disappeared as a result of vaccinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why, and I want to get, is it Washington, Oregon? Is it just the Northwest right now where we have had a rash, sorry, pardon the pun, of measles outbreaks?
Well, Washington State has had almost half of the cases recorded this year, 62.
And they're clumped in certain communities.
Right, exactly. So in this country right now, we've had 127 measles cases in 10 states. Mm-hmm. And, you know, five outbreaks of three or more are occurring. This already surpassed what we saw in both 2016 and 2017.
Oh, okay.
So we have this measles outbreak that's happening up there. We haven't had it in Arizona yet. But it is possible because measles is one of those diseases where if somebody is infected and they cough, they sneeze in a room, and you walk into that room a couple of hours later, you can contract it. Mm. It's highly contagious. So we're seeing all of this happening in the upper Northwest. And what we're also seeing is right here in Arizona, they are looking to potentially pass a bill that would take away the personal exemption when it comes to vaccinating your kids. So in order for your kids to go to school, right, mm-hmm. you have to submit paperwork to prove that they have been vaccinated. Now, the exemptions for not vaccinating your kids can be religious reasons.
Okay.
health reasons. Not all kids can be vaccinated.
Like literally medical reasons where a vaccination could be harmful to your health.
Correct.
It's like immune issues, right? As I hear.
And we also have a personal exemption where a parent just does not want to vaccinate their kids and they don't have to. Arizona is one of 17 states that allows parents to exempt their kids.
So this new bill, personal exemption, sure. I just don't believe in it. I believe Jenny McCarthy over my doctor.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand.
We're seeing more of that. You say Jenny McCarthy, but there is a well-debunked medical myth that came out, I want to say, in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, that vaccinations cause autism. Okay? That paper that had been cited a couple of times has been debunked time and time.
You're in the pocket of Big Pharma, yeah, Pamela. Open your eyes.
Man, they need to fill my pockets more than if that's the case. No. But the medical community says that is not true.
No.
That is a myth.
It's not based in science.
There are people who still believe it, and they choose not to vaccinate.
People believe
their kids.
The earth is flat also. The difference is if you believe the earth is flat, you're not going to get harmed by it, nor is anyone else, because at no time will you fall off the edge of it. If you refuse to vaccinate your child because insert celebrity / web page told you not to, it does have a ripple effect on others.
It does have a ripple effect on others. When you have a high vaccination rate, you protect those who can't get vaccinated. And that's a little bit about what Will Humble has said. Will Humble is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association.
Okay.
And he talked to our TV partners over at ABC 15.
If you get a vaccination rate of, say, 95-96%, it's virtually impossible for measles to propagate in a community because enough people are vaccinated.
But if you fall below that 95% threshold, which is what they're seeing in the upper Northwest, then you're going to have these kinds of outbreaks.
There's also an exemption for medical exemptions. Nobody has any dispute with that.
Will Humble is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, and he is in support of this bill. He explains the medical exemption would still stay if this passed, meaning a doctor could sign off on the opt-out option if they thought the vaccine would be unsafe.
All right, so should Arizona go in this direction? We're one of 17 states that allows parents to exempt their kids based on personal opinion. Should that be taken away? Hmm. It's House Bill 2162, and that's exactly what it's considering doing, removing that option for parents.
Okay, so I'm going to try to split the hairs here. I don't like the idea of forcing parents to do this. Okay, that doesn't make me anti-vaxxer. I think you're a lunatic for not doing it, but that's fine. I think you have a right to be a lunatic, and you have a right to harm your child however you choose to harm your child. I don't think you should be able to send them to school. Go to public school.
So you got a homeschool.
Yeah. You're just not allowed to take your kid to a public school. Your actions have consequences. Yeah, that's fine. I will defend your right to not vaccinate your child. I'll also defend your right to feed your kid a 2-liter bottle of soda pop and Twinkies every single day. Okay? You can't send your kid to school. If you don't vaccinate him, can't go to school, full stop, period.
Now, there are some parents who are anti-vaxxer, and that's their personal exemption.
Yeah.
There are other parents who, when they're signing their kid up for school, can't find the vaccination form, so they just check the personal exemption box, even though their kids are vaccinated. And what I wonder if parents fully understand is if there is some sort of
outbreak,
you've got to keep your kid home for an extended period of time until that outbreak has cleared, and you're responsible for getting the homework, care for your kid, and they can't go to school because you're trying not to have that outbreak get any worse.
The good thing about science, it's true whether or not you believe in it. Even with vaccines. And some of the excuses you hear, you just sit there and hear them say these excuses. And you're like, how do you make it through the day? How'd you tie your shoes this morning? Oh my goodness. You know that thing above your shoulders? It's more than just a hat rack. Try using it. Another data breach right here in Arizona may have compromised your personal information. We'll tell you which businesses were affected and the latest. Who has what on you and how will they use it? Coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
To quote the Smiths, stop me, oh ho, stop me. Stop me if you think you've heard this one before. Another data breach out there. Your personal information may be at risk, but this time coming from maybe some of your favorite restaurants?
A data breach may have affected nearly 50 Arizona hotels and restaurants last month. A national point-of-sale system company says suspicious activity led to the discovery of malware at businesses like Holiday Inn, Zip Sports Grill, and some boroughs across the valley. The outside party had access to credit and debit card information. The issue has been fixed, but you're being asked to double-check your bank statements.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always being asked to double-check my
bank
statements.
Like on a regular basis.
Who actually does that, right? You know that something wrong has happened when you get the call from the bank. Hi, Miss Hughes?
Ooh.
Yes. Have you purchased two tickets to a rave in California?
Why not?
No joke. This is what this happened to me.
That's what you thinking. Did you purchase rave
tickets? Yeah, well, Long Beach.
Well,
yeah, that's what it was, Long Beach.
Tell you. I don't know.
And I'm like, no.
Hot no.
Don't have a whistle or any glow sticks. Not my speed, right? But that's when I know, or you go and try to use your debit card and it says that this has been declined and you're like, I know that there's money in there. You call the bank. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's for your safety. Did you purchase this? No. And then you got to go through that all. I feel like we do this all the time. And it's frustrating to me, Bruce, because it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. When they talk about the point of sale, it's the POS system and it's just where they run the card. You know, where they run the card and there was some sort of malware where they swiped your card that your information became vulnerable. And it's just nowadays it seems to be everywhere. Again,
had
all of these businesses all across the valley, 50 Arizona businesses last month where your personal information may have been compromised. But it's not just Chompies or some Burrows or Zip Sports Grill.
No.
It's also at the gas station.
Yeah, this is the one where I have somebody who understands this better than me is going to have to explain it. When they started putting the little chips, instead of swiping the chip, I would go through 3 to 4 credit cards a year.
With the chip?
When we were swiping.
Oh, with the magnetic strip.
Ever since I've had the chip, I've had no issues.
Oh, really?
So is the chip a...
More secure.
And a solid anti-theft device. Because I, on more than one occasion, apparently frequent suspicious gas stations.
Oh, okay.
Where they had those card skimmers. Because that's the only place I could ever track down. Well, where did you use the card that all of a sudden somebody was trying to purchase computer equipment in Shenzhen, China?
That wasn't you.
Yeah. I actually got that. That's the call I got.
Oh, that's true?
You just bought $36.28 in gas in Phoenix and 20 minutes later tried to buy computer equipment in Shenzhen, China.
You know.
And they alert you. So these skimmers apparently are still everywhere. I mean, they are around. And as a matter of fact, again, our wonderful partners at Channel 15 went out and found that they had these skimmers. And you know what I noticed? A lot of them up and down the freeways, they're kind of near, they're near places where probably travelers would use the gas a lot.
Well,
so maybe you wouldn't notice right away because you're out traveling.
But it's also who's going to get gas? It's going to be right along the freeway too. Or you got to hop off and fill up. So what do when we find out that these 14 credit card skimmers have been found in Arizona so far this year? Well, you know what? It's really easy for them to target your credit card information at these gas stations. So before we find out that, you know, they use Bluetooth to get the data from skimmers, which meant they actually physically had to return to the gas station.
Ooh.
But today we're finding out that they're putting cell phone chips in the skimmers. So soon after you run your card, your data can be anywhere in the world. And they could be producing a fake card.
Really? What will they think of next? I didn't know that was a thing.
Neither did I. Thanks to our TV partners over at ABC 15. You know, they talked to people that try to beat the thieves. But it's one of those things where they're always one step ahead of us. That's where I just feel like, okay, it's not an if, it's a when. And
You are the one, by the way, shout out. We'll give a Dave Ramsey a shout out because Pamela's the one that convinced me, and I'm assuming Dave convinced you first that I use that Xander.
Yeah, it's ID theft insurance.
And I just clicked on it, and guess what? I'm okay. I got a little green check mark.
Yeah.
While we were talking about it, I wanted to make sure I hadn't screwed anything.
Because it takes a lot of time and money to fix it if your ID is stolen. Hey, spring training right around the corner, and we're giving you the chance to win VIP tickets to the upcoming Chicago Cubs game. Head over to the reward page at KTAR.com for complete details and your chance to win.
So, we got a check of the headlines on the way. Bob McClay is going to get us updated on everything you need to do. Question for you. You think texting while driving should be illegal? Of course you do. Do you still do it? Of course you do. Tell us why. We're going to be talking about that next. Our open mic line, 602-200-2733. Are any of you brave enough to admit to doing it while being outraged by it at the same time? It's coming up on KTAR.